This version of Curtain Call was recorded before the coronavirus shut all the theater productions down. So both of these shows have closed, and we've eliminated the dates in our discussion.
The Richmond Theater Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theater with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 5, Scene 14. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
Julinda Lewis with RVAR Review.
Susie Habenstock with BroadwayWorld.com.
And I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
We're going to start today with The Great Gatsby, which is a Quill Theater production at BMFA's Leslie Cheek Theater through March 22nd. Well, I think everybody's probably read the book in high school, so we know what the story is.
I didn't.
You didn't? But you know what it's about by now,
yes.
Right? It's been around for a long time. So who wants to jump in first on The Great Gatsby?
I have an ongoing problem with the Leslie Cheek Theater as a venue in that the auditorium is usually not full. The sound just sort of flies into the auditorium and drops and just does not carry well. The acoustics don't do them any favors.
And they didn't for this show.
No, they sure didn't.
I have to agree.
And you know, it's interesting because back in the day when that was the Virginia Museum Theater, they didn't have mics, but you could hear everything. You saw that with a couple of the actors you could hear really well, and a lot of them you couldn't, because I don't think a lot of actors nowadays are being trained to work without a mic.
Maybe I was just a couple rows ahead of you guys. Maybe I have younger ears. I didn't have a problem hearing anyone.
The sound was really bad and distracting.
Well, and they also played a lot of it upstage. You may have noticed when they came down into the front area, you could hear them a lot better. But let's talk about the show. How about the production itself, which I didn't think was that much better than the sound?
Well, I found it uneven. I didn't understand the direction that they chose for the character of Jay Gatsby.
Kind of different.
Yeah. Kurt Smith was a very interesting actor to watch. I enjoyed watching him. But for Gatsby, he seemed a little giggly, a little antic.
It brought to mind for me Cary Grant or maybe Jimmy Stewart, kind of that hesitant, stuttery kind of comical way, which was, I thought it was an interesting take.
For Daisy Buchanan, Rachel Rose Gilmore played the sort of helpless part of the role very well. You could see a little bit of the manipulative side of her, but the other alluring woman in the show, Myrtle Wilson, I didn't see what the allure was. I didn't see what the great power was that these women had over the men.
I perhaps liked it a bit more than you guys did. I really enjoyed the interesting take on Jay Gatsby. Later on in the show, you see that kind of break down and he kind of hits this real wall. And yeah, it is this sort of put on, you know, Jimmy Stewart kind of accent that he does. But I thought it worked. And I thought there's like a little bit of, let's say, homoerotic chemistry between him and Chandler Hubbard's Nick Carraway. I enjoyed Rachel Rose Gilmore's characterization as Daisy.
I thought she felt very Tennessee Williams almost.
That's just to say it said John Quills.
Okay? Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
you know?
Right.
I overall liked it. I thought it dragged a little near the end.
I thought there were some interesting characterizations, but the whole thing just didn't seem to gel to me. It was almost
right.
As if people were in different versions of the play.
That opening number that was kind of like, what's going on here? There was some dancing and some ad-libbing, and it was kind of, what is this? That scene didn't make sense, and then the rest of the show just kind of had that same kind of trying to get their footing. We didn't mention Chandler Hubbard. I think, obviously, he was the third major character. I thought he was kind of bland. I didn't see, you know, that character is supposed to kind of change through the show. I didn't see much growth. I thought the hairstyle that he had was totally non-period.
He didn't knock me out, but I felt I saw the character grow. Who I did like quite a bit was Michelle Greensmith as Jordan Baker. I thought she nailed it.
Yeah, I thought she was the most interesting character in the show.
She was certainly one of the most dominant characters. I mean, she commanded the stage.
Yeah, yeah. And you could hear her.
Yes, true.
Dr. Jan Powell has been away for a season at least, and this is her first time back directing a show. And usually I really appreciate her direction, and I thought she had some nice stage pictures. I thought there were some interesting moments, but it just, again, didn't have that cohesion.
What did people think of Cole Metz as Tom Buchanan?
Oh, he's so good at those roles. Just the, you know, the
smarmy
jerk.
Yeah, smarmy came out of our mouth at the same time.
He's so good at that role, and he's done it before, but you watch him and it's like, oh, I don't like it so much.
I think we should mention the set. Reed West's set was basically just one scenic thing in the middle of the stage with a bunch of shears. And Tennessee Dixon's projections, I think they echoed the whole fact that the show wasn't sure where it was going, because sometimes they were reflecting a room or a space, and other times they were just symbolic. And I was like, okay, what are you trying to establish here? Cora Delbridge had assembled some luxe, beautiful dresses. And of course, Rachel Rose Gilmore, who plays Daisy, I thought her dresses were the least flattering.
Well, I mean, she's supposed to be, it's the 20s, it's the flabber era.
Right,
you know,
right.
They're not as form-fitting.
But all the others were. It may have been that the others were rented and that hers were built for her, and that's why they were not as
attractive. Because the whole flapper style is supposed to shape like a 12-year-old boy when
yeah,
you're wearing
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Conclusion on this show?
I wish I could have liked it more.
I could agree with that.
Yeah, me too.
Well, before the show, Jerry, you said it was the not-so-great Gatsby. I'm going to say it's the pretty good Gatsby.
All right, we have been talking about, if you haven't figured it out by now, The Great Gatsby, which is a Quill Theater production. Now we're going to go downtown to talk about Small Mouth Sounds, which is a Virginia Rep Cadence Theater co-production at the Theater Gym. Six people attend a silent yoga retreat, but as we saw it, it's not all silent.
Well, I think that they just did an amazing job telling the story with so few words. And in order to do that, they had to act their butts off.
They did.
Literally. Indeed. In some cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I agree. I thoroughly enjoyed the show. I thought it was funny. I thought it was moving. It's playing with the tricks and tropes of theater that make it its own unique art form.
The one thing that I thought was weird about the play itself was you were getting little hints of what people's stories were all through it. And then all of a sudden, one character gets up on stage and does this whole monologue about here's why I'm here and who's who I am. And I thought, okay, so now we're going to get one of those from everybody to round it out. And we never did.
And that's what I expected to happen as well. Yeah.
I think we're better off for it. You know, like you get the one story that kind of shows that the trauma that some of these people have, and you get hints of other people's trauma and the things that they're trying to work through at this yoga retreat. Cramming in six of those would be a lot.
Well, I agree. Six monologues would have been a lot, but it was just odd.
They only have one.
Yeah, to have only one. And why was it that particular character?
We did talk about briefly the production. I thought the cast was very strong. Very strong ensemble. They mixed and matched a lot, and I thought they all did a good job.
And before we forget, because we sometimes don't get to some of the technical things, Joey Lux sound design.
Great environmental addition to it.
The ambient sounds, just amazing.
Lane Satterfield, who directed it, I thought she did help create that very compelling ensemble, that she let everybody have their moments, and it worked very well to have everything play out and you still kind of knew what was going on. And I wanted to mention Marissa Guida, who is actually the leader of the retreat, and she never appears on stage. She just has her voice, but she does some wonderful things with just that part.
Well, she's the character that gets the most lines, and you never see her until the end, so it was really interesting for me to get to see, that's what that voice looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
To talk about some of the members that you do get to see in the cast.
You see more than others.
True.
I just mentioned there are some brief flashes of nudity, but
not as much as Jerry would like. So there's Lori Linehouse Cook and Jenny Hunley. They're playing a lesbian couple that are going through some stuff. There's Mara Mazurowski, who's apparently trying to get over some sort of breakup. Jim Morgan, he's going through all sorts of stuff.
He had the monologue.
Did a great job. That Adam Van